Hello, and welcome to the Frequencies Podcast, Episode 9. My name is Michael J. Johnson. I'm your host. Today, I got a few things I want to talk about. If you're a podcast nerd like me, you were probably pretty jazzed to see that Serial Season 2 came out last week. This season is about Bo Bergdahl, the soldier who ended up being captured by the Taliban and was held for 5 years. So, yeah, first episode, pretty interesting. You know, it's a little bit different from what the show was about last year, but I think they picked a good topic. It's something that I didn't really know much about, so I already learned a lot, even just in the first episode. So, looking forward to what else they do with that. The main thing I want to talk about today, though, is Star Wars. For a while, I kind of forgot about my level of Star Wars fandom, and I kind of blame the prequels for this. I think the prequels just really dampened my enthusiasm for the Star Wars franchise in general. I was underwhelmed with the prequels, and I really tried to make an effort to like them at first. But by the time I saw the third one, I saw it in the theater once, and I never was interested in seeing it again. And add to that the special edition versions of the original trilogy, which came out where Lucas tried to mess with it and added a bunch of really bad CGI stuff that didn't really need to be in there. And it just, as I said, it just really dampened my enthusiasm for Star Wars. Now, I always had a little bit of a dual citizenship in that I began as a huge fan of the original Star Trek series, with Shatner as Captain Kirk and Nimoy as Spock. So I always kind of had this thing for Star Trek anyway. But from the very first Star Wars movie that came out, I always had, at the time, equal love for the Star Wars franchise. And I would say, you know, I was old enough to see the original in the theater. I think I was in junior high or something when I saw it. And then I know that I saw Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi probably 3 or 4 times before they left the theaters. Now, back at that time, it might take years before those things came out on VHS. You had to wait for a while for it to come out on VHS or to show up on HBO or something. So you had to try to get in as many times as you could in the theater. And I was definitely one of those guys who would stand outside in line in the cold to see it the third or fourth time. As I said, though, I really think I kind of forgot about how much I loved the original trilogy. And it's only been in the past few weeks that I've really started thinking about it again. And so it's been long ago that I had to get rid of my VHS copies of the original trilogy. I never got the DVDs or the Blu-rays because they were the new special editions. And as I said, I just wasn't really all that fond of the changes they made. But I went ahead and sprung for the iTunes versions. Even though they were special edition, I figured I could remember enough of what was in the original that I would be able to suss out what the new fake stuff was and what the original stuff was. It's probably been a long, long time since I saw the first movie. You know, I don't know, maybe the first movie, just because I was so young when I first saw it, it just seemed older to me or something. Going back and looking at especially those first two, I mean, I remember practically every line. It's like I'd been watching it every week all this time. Now, don't get me wrong, looking at these movies again, I do see the flaws a little more clearly. Probably the biggest one that struck me at one point was the AT-ATs, you know, the big Imperial walkers. I mean, really, why would you use something that could be tripped so easily by just some wire? The more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, why aren't these either hovering, or why don't these have treads or something like that, or wheels? It seems like they would be much more stable. And since they have hovering technology, because they do with land speeders and stuff, the more I thought about it, the more it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And there's other stuff, you know, especially in Empire Strikes Back. I think Mark Hamill does some Shatner-level overacting at times, but I think you can also blame the writing. And I guess I never really noticed until now how many times different characters in all three of the films say, "I got a bad feeling about this." I don't know, I guess you could call that a catchphrase, but it still is a bit of a cliche. I think the only other thing about the original trilogy that really kind of takes me out of it a little bit and makes it a little harder to suspend my disbelief is those moments when you suddenly remember that characters like Yoda and Jabba the Hutt are basically Muppets. Back in the 70s and 80s, when that was kind of the state of the special effects, it was easier to not think about that. But now in this era of CGI, it is a little more difficult to keep that out of your mind. On the other hand, I think that a computer-generated Yoda jumping around with a lightsaber just didn't seem all that realistic. I think they've got the CGI technology now to make it look a little better, but I really wonder if maybe the technology was not quite ready for prime time when they did it. So in a way, the puppet might have been a better call. Well, for years I've heard people debate which of the original trilogy was best, but I think after rewatching them again this last weekend, I think Empire Strikes Back is my choice. In many ways, even despite what I said about some of the dialogue and stuff, I think it's the perfect movie. It's the perfect blend of action and really meaningful plot development. You know, and even getting past the initial introduction we get to Yoda, which you can pretty much tell is kind of a hook for the little kids. But even that, I think, doesn't really detract from the overall look and feel of the movie. And it's definitely the darker of the three. Even despite that, I mean, Luke loses a hand, you know, and you really see his development from the wide-eyed young kid to a much more developed character and a much deeper character. You see him have doubts and you see him almost kind of succumb to the dark side. And I think also another great thing about that film is the Han Solo character is much more fleshed out. You know, in the first movie, he was just the wisecracking, swashbuckling adventurer guy. Or maybe he was supposed to be more of the gunslinger type. But either way, he was just sort of the handsome action character. But you see his humanity much more in this second film. You know, the fact that he risks his life to go out and find Luke, even there at the beginning of the movie, that kind of sets the tone for his character throughout the whole film. And whereas in the first movie, you would have really seen that as more the story of Luke, I think The Empire Strikes Back is really the story of Luke and the story of Han Solo. And Leia even becomes a much more complex character in Empire Strikes Back. All around, I just think it's the best of the original trilogy. And that kind of seems like the consensus, too. I mean, if you look on the internet and on places like Reddit and stuff, I think a lot of people agree that that's really the best one. Now, Return of the Jedi, you know, in recent years, I've seen a lot of hate for that movie. I think most of it has been because of the Ewoks. And yes, I agree, the Ewoks do seem like kind of a transparent marketing ploy to kids and that sort of thing. Although what I've read is that that planet was supposed to have Wookiees and they just couldn't get it to work for whatever reason. I don't know if it was budgetary or just the costumes. So they created a new race that was smaller and I guess easier to film. But definitely the idea of these primitive tiny creatures taking on the Empire is kind of ridiculous. But let me digress for a moment and just kind of point out that a lot of the original trilogy depends on sort of the incompetence of the Empire in a lot of ways. Most of the circumstances that end up turning the tide for the rebellion are stupid mistakes made by the Empire. I mean, why would you build the original Death Star with an exposed port, even though it's tiny, that if you shot in there just right, you could destroy the whole thing? But anyway, back to Return of the Jedi. Just the other day, one of my Facebook friends posted an article, and it talked about why you shouldn't judge Return of the Jedi just based on Ewoks. And the thing this writer pointed out, and I think I really agree with it, was Return of the Jedi really is the story of Luke actually becoming a true Jedi. And he's already got it right from the start. I mean, he practically single-handedly destroys Jabba's entire machine, his entire organization. And he emerges right there at the beginning as a truly powerful warrior and full of self-confidence and nothing like the whiny kid we saw in the first movie. In The Empire Strikes Back, Luke goes against Yoda's wishes, and you kind of come out of that movie thinking it was a bit of a mistake. I mean, he loses his hand because of it. He almost dies. But in Return of the Jedi, he once again goes against both Yoda's and Obi-Wan's wishes in the belief that he can turn Darth Vader from the dark side. And he does. And his unwavering belief that he can do that is really what takes up a lot of that film. And the fact that he succeeds is part of what really, I think, makes that movie what it is. Of course, it's unfortunate that in the special edition version, one of the final scenes we see is the ghost of Anakin Skywalker, played by Hayden Christensen, instead of the original actor who played him. That left a bit of a bad taste in my mouth. So I'd say despite what Lucas has done with the prequels and then tinkering with the original trilogy by adding a bunch of bad CGI, you just can't deny what a masterpiece that original trilogy was. I mean, so much has been written over the years about how it transformed the landscape in terms of visual effects and had such a huge impact on all the science fiction that happened after it. But I think it even really just had an impact on a lot of the cinema that happened after it. And I know that over the years there have been complaints that Lucas leaned a little bit too heavily on the Joseph Campbell hero's journey myth. But you can't deny that it's just a really great story and well done and beyond just the special effects. Now the prequels, not so much. And I think most of the world agrees with me. Now, if you are younger and the prequels were your first introduction to Star Wars, I completely understand. And to me, one of the biggest crimes the prequels commits is reneging on so many of the things that were established in the original trilogy. Things like changing the very nature of the Force and too many other things to list. So now to Episode 7, The Force Awakens. So as I said, since I think the waters were kind of poisoned for me by the prequels, when I started hearing about this new movie, I just couldn't get myself to be excited about it. And I just thought, I'm not going to make an effort to see it early or anything. I'm just going to try to get to it when I get to it. But as I began reading more about the film and how they've brought back the original cast and some of the new cast that they've got, I'm now a little bit sad that I probably won't be able to see it on opening weekend. But we'll see. Maybe I'll be able to get into a showing. Either way, just do me a favor and don't spoil it for me if I have to wait a few days. Well, that's our show. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Star Wars, both the original trilogy and the prequels. You can leave a comment at MichaelJJohnsonMusic.com or hit me up at Facebook or Twitter, twitter.com@MikeJJohnson. My SoundCloud is soundcloud.com, Michael J. Johnson. My Facebook fan page is facebook.com/MikeJJohnson.music. I also have a YouTube, youtube.com/MichaelJJohnson. And I actually have some videos for some of my songs on there. Thanks for listening. And may the Force be with you.